Okay, well. We'll say a word of prayer and we'll jump right in this. Father God, we just seek wisdom right now. We thank you for your presence and we just honor who you are as our Most High God. And right now we bless you in advance for enlightening us, and we seek your divine will for our lives on a daily basis. We thank you for your Son, and we thank you for your Spirit. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. I want to just share a thought. Share a thought with you in reference to some things that have been said to me, for a period of time now. Make sure your phone's on mute. Some things that have been said to me over a period of time now, and I want to address it in a manner whereby it will encourage you and hopefully it will encourage you enough to step forth or step forward and be everything that that Yah has called you to be, because I'll say this: by the grace of Yah, I'm being everything that Yah has called me to be. And so, several people have asked me this question because, for lack of a better way to put it, my teaching is so different than my teaching is so different than what is considered traditional, and is also different from the brethren who have come into the understanding of who we are as a nation of people, and are teaching some things in reference, to that knowledge. And so, as people have said to me, that my teaching is different and things like that, and they ask me, why, preachers don't teach the things that I teach and stuff like that. I'll say it on the surface, it is because and I like to say we, because it keeps me balanced and it keeps me disciplined enough to continue to do it. But most preachers don't study the scriptures. What they do is they search the scriptures for a sermon. And as I've said this often, the Bible is the only book that I know of where a person will pick it up and start anywhere. Any other book that anyone spends any amount of time with, they're going to start on page one. I remember when I was back in the day when I I read my, as far as I can recall, I chose my first book to read, you know, on my own. You know, teacher was like, okay, everybody has to choose a book, and you have to read it, and you have to do a book report on the book that you read. Well, y'all put a gift in me back that was even there. You know, the gift that I have is even, you know, you're born with it, basically. But when I look back on it, on those days, I could see that development even as a kid, because the first book that I actually chose to read myself was Huckleberry Finn. And I don't know why, but I just read it. It was a fairly long book for somebody, you know, my age, but it's just the book I wanted to do a book report on. Well, the funny thing about it is, I'm so detailed when I read stuff that I basically was writing the book all over again. I started from the beginning of that book, and I wrote down everything that I knew that was in that book. And my teacher was looking at me. She was like, "Oh, you know, you're basically writing this book over, you know, and there's so much detail that you have in here." She was like, you know, your book report, it didn't have to be like this, but you know, that's just the way that y'all designed my mind to work as far as reading and comprehension of things, especially when I had interest in it, because if I didn't have interest in it, I just only look at it enough to pass the test. And then, you know, you can ask me the same thing, you know, as far as, subjects I didn't care about. History was one of them I didn't care about as far as American history was concerned, but you know, I care a lot about biblical history, but I didn't know it at the time. But you know, I would study that history book and pass that test. Don't ask me nothing an hour later, and I can ace the test. Don't ask me an hour later. I couldn't tell you a bit more nothing about what I put down on that test. And you know, it was just wasn't retaining the information, because I was studying enough just to get out of it what I needed in order to pass the test. Well, that's what most preachers do when they pick up the scriptures. They pick it up and they look at it just to get a message out of it, and they don't retain the information. And so, he just gave me a gift and dealt with it, you know, dealt with me in a different way about that. So, and when it comes down to reading different things, he's just given me a gift to see things in detail when I read it. And I retain a lot of information when I read it, especially when I'm interested in it. And so, I said that to say this, we do have to study to understand the scripture. That's why we're going over the books from Genesis to Revelation. You know, I just call it the themes of the scriptures. We've been doing it on Sabbath service, and then we'll, you know, as Yah changes or give a word, we'll deal with that word for that particular Sabbath, and then we'll go back to, you know, the themes of the scriptures if he doesn't give another word the following week. And so my reason for doing that is because I want just to show everybody the process by which you study the scriptures and how to retain that information. And you know, retain that information to the best of your ability, and it all makes sense as you continue to do it. Well, the other facet of it is I don't. What I do is more than just studying, because a lot of stuff, when I'm studying, I don't I don't see it myself. It's like I'm shown. And so that's the best way to put it. It's just how Yah deals with me with the scriptures and I'll say it this way, because I follow the rules, then Yah is able to manifest the gift fully, whereby y'all can benefit from it. And you hear these lessons, and you may hear stuff that you never heard before and different things like that, but you know once these things are said, you know, I don't say it if it's not in the scriptures. And if I do say it and it's not in the scriptures, I say that, well, that's not scripturally, so you can take it with a grain of salt or something like that. And so, again, that's the reason why I'm taking you through the scriptures, is because you have to have some form of a foundation to go by that coincides with the gift that you have. And so you have a lot of preachers who have maybe a gift from Yah, but they don't understand the fundamental processes by which you come into understanding of the scriptures. The Spirit is the source, but at the same time, the Spirit doesn't manifest fully in giving understanding until we obey the rule. We start in Genesis 1, and we study from Genesis 1, and from having the gift and callings to do what we do, then the Spirit of Yah will start to guide us into our truth, because we're being disciplined and we're following the process by which we're supposed to understand the scriptures. Well, I can have a gift, but if I don't follow the processes by which you understand the scripture, I'd be over in Matthew trying to teach the scriptures and don't understand what it means. I'm gonna give you an example of this here. You trying to say something?
I got an example. So, I mean, you know, you can be naturally gifted. Let's say, for example, you can run fast and jump high. That's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to succeed at football, for example, you got to know the rules of the game of football. Like, just having that gift doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to excel. It gives you an advantage, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily mean if you can't learn the parameters by which that game is played, mm-hmm. that you will be successful, even mm-hmm. though you have that gift.
Penny Hardaway had the gift, but I think Penny Hardaway did not Penny Hardaway. Tracy McGrady. What's the other one? Tracy. It was Tracy and another one. Is Penny Hardaway? He played with Orlando. He was number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, still
yeah. Okay.
Tracy McGrady played for Orlando.
Was it? Maybe I'm getting mixed up.
They both did.
You put up. These guys, and I use Tracy because I think he's even better. That boy was gifted, I mean, to the highest degree. But the difference between him and Jordan was Jordan worked at it. Kobe worked at it. And when you get people who say, for instance, we'll talk about the greatness of say, for instance, LeBron James, the greatness of LeBron, when the rubber hits the road, I will choose Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan over LeBron any day, because all three of them have the gift, but there's something in Jordan and Kobe that's not in LeBron. And I saw it in high school. When I saw him play in high school, it's the same mentality that I saw in the pros and things like that. So there's something different about these, you know, these athletes. And so, again, when you have even as far as the gift, as far as preachers are concerned, they can be really gifted, but they refuse to apply themselves and follow the processes by which is necessary for them to come into the knowledge of the scriptures. And so I'll say it this way, you know, since that example was used. As a matter of fact, I was on long same lines of the example. And so I say it this way. What you see in me is a gift that Yah has given, but the application, the work. The work is there. And so since the work is there, then you see understanding that is different than what's being taught by a lot of preachers. It's different. And so that's the reason why it's different, is because the gift is there, and then Yah gave me the process by which it is necessary to understand what He wants us to understand. Most preachers got the gift, but they're caught up into their gift. They start to have a reputation with the gift or because of the gift. So you start seeing the entourage. You start seeing the, I got to drive the Rolls Royce. You start seeing the, you know, I got to have this size church. And it's like, you know, they compete with church sizes and church members and all this here, because they now are more caught up into the gift instead of what the gift is supposed to be used for. And the average preacher desires to be rich from his preaching. There's nothing wrong with being rich or wealthy and things like that. But your average preacher is motivated by the gift to be successful as a preacher, as far as the gift is concerned. Instead of taking that gift and allowing that gift to be developed by the Spirit of Yah, and being disciplined with the scriptures in order to understand, because most preachers are not trying to understand the scriptures, as I say. They're trying to preach a sermon because they want to impress people with the message. Woo, pastor really preached today. Woo, pastor did. Pastor tore it up. Pastor rocked the house. And so it is everybody's glorifying the gift instead of applying the gift to become what Yah has called us to do, or what He's called us to be. And so that's why I said earlier that I'm being everything that Yah has called me to be. That's why I preach the way that I do. I understand that the gift is not for my glory, but it's for His. And so I'm not trying to use my gift to be rich, because I could have been that a long time ago. Now, what I mean by rich, I'm talking about large sums of wealth, well up in the high millions or hundreds of millions. I could have had that, because the gift was there to do those things. All I had to do was take the path. All I had to do was take that path, because the gift was there, and all I had to do was glorify myself in order to, you know, all I had to do was take advantage of the gift and glorify myself. Could have been, you know, all the desires, you know, financial or whatever, however you want to put it, that would have been, you know, could have been a second thought. Now, I'm still rich. I'm still wealthy. But I don't look at that, because my gift now is for the glory of Yah. So I'm still rich. I'm still wealthy because those riches and that wealth is because I'm doing what Yah has called me to do. Okay? I'm walking in the path by which Yah has called me to walk in. Therefore, no amount of money can be more valuable than what my place is right now in Yah. That's why I've turned down $30 million before, for starters. That's why I've turned down $1 million here and there where people have tried to offer me. And you know, people offer me money here recently. Last week, as a matter of fact, people are always offering me some large sum of money because they see the gift and they want to hire the gift. They want to pay the gift. But I understand that the gift has been given to me for the glory of God, and that's what I want to use that gift for. So all my energy is designed to glorify Yah. I'm sharing a secret with you. All my energy is designed to glorify Yah because that's what I was born to do. That's what I'm gifted to do. And so I put all my effort into that mindset. In order to manifest the divine will and purpose for my life. That's my secret. That's how come I understand the scriptures the way that I do. Because you know, the gift is there, and I don't just take it and use it to preach a sermon. I want to operate in knowledge to the highest degree. I don't want to understand the scripture average. Because Yah didn't put an average gift in me. To whom much is given, much is required. And Yah put a lot of gift in me, so much is required. So I have to study the way that I do. And because of that, Yah is like, okay, he don't see it, but I reveal it to him because he's gifted to I gave him the gift to see it, and I'll slide in on his mind and give him understanding every time he look at the scripture because he's applying things. He's obeying the rules. I told him, when you get back home, start in Genesis chapter 1, read verse by verse, word by word, and I follow the pattern, and because I follow the pattern, now you're seeing the benefit of the gift. I'm gifted to understand the scriptures, but I can't understand the scripture unless I follow the pattern. We're all gifted in one facet or another, but things are not going to materialize at the level where it can until we all follow the pattern. Okay. Now, to give you an example as far as the scriptures are concerned,
let me search it again. I think I John. One and 45. I was too far up.
Now, just to give you an example of this here, it says, John 1 and 45 says, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets, Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Yehoshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, when I was using the example as far as the preachers are concerned, when they're gifted, but then they start anywhere in the book, and they go to, say for instance, John 1, verse 45, they have no clue what this is referring to. And so you hear a sermon. And nine times out of 10 out of that sermon, if a preacher preach John 1 verse 45, his message is going to be, you need to find Jesus. Because there is no substance along with verse 45. Because that preacher hasn't used the gift to be disciplined enough to find out what John 1 verse 45 is even referring to. So here read, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him. You need to find Jesus. Now everybody shouting, running around the church, hollering, find Jesus. And you touching your neighbor, telling your neighbor to find Jesus. You go out in the parking lot and you telling them to find Jesus. You go in the store, you telling folks to find Jesus. And your whole week you talking about finding Jesus, and this ain't got nothing to do with what this is talking about as far as finding Jesus, because they done already found it. But that's what happens when people use their gift and not discipline. When people just use their gift for popularity instead of allowing their gift to put them in a position to understand what this is referring to. Because now we follow the process. I said we because y'all should be doing the same thing. There are things in verse 45 that we should pay attention to. And we should start asking ourselves questions, because we understand the discipline which it takes to see the scriptures and to understand the scriptures. So we don't start going by with, you know, Reverend Joe said. Reverend Joe said, find Jesus. No, wait a minute. They found him, it says, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write. Wait a minute. They wrote about this him. And how do we find out what they're talking about as far as writing about him? What did Moses write about him? Well, we got the technology, so I'm just show you how it's done. What we have now the technology to do is what it took me 30 years to do on my own. Now the technology is there and it's just easier. And so when you see it here, it starts giving different scriptures. Okay? And this is one that will stick out in reference to the law of Moses. Deuteronomy is one of the books of the law. So when you look at Deuteronomy 18:18, it says, I will raise them up a prophet. Christ is a prophet. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Now, I have to say this because I've heard people say this. The Muslim community think this is, who wrote the Quran? I can't remember his name. Is it Prophet Muhammad? Think it's Muhammad. But I asked the question, I'd be like, okay, see, you can't cherry pick. You're doing the same thing as preachers do. You can't turn around and say it's Prophet Muhammad, because Prophet Muhammad is not a brother to the Jews. He's not an Israelite. So he's being told in Deuteronomy 18:18 by Moses that it was going to be a prophet that was going to be raised up, and they were going to hear him. Okay? As you see it in the middle of the screen, it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, when Nathanael and them run into Yehoshua, they said, we found him of whom Moses and the prophet did write. Well, if we're not looking at all these scriptures, Isaiah is a prophet. In that day shall the branch of Yah be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Prophets are talking about it. 7:14, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The prophets are revealing the sign. But if you over here just in John 1:45, you going out telling folks, find Jesus. And this ain't got nothing to do with this, finding Jesus. So we have to learn how to use the gift and follow the rules by which we understand the scripture That's the only thing that I do different. Example that Elder used, you take a basketball player that is gifted, and the reason why he or she is not in the Hall of Fame is because they refuse to apply that gift. They refuse to work. They don't spend hours shooting threes. They don't spend hours doing layups. They don't spend hours practicing on their dribble. They just want to show up and just halfway practice and go through the motion and get a check, and they never develop that gift. The saddest thing, matter of fact, I've been talking about it quite a bit. People got a great expectation for the Cowboys, and always, you know, I don't pay attention to football that much anymore. Just wait, y'all just deal with me now. But I'm still a Cowboy fan, and I still want to see them do well. But I'm realistic. And my mindset says this because I'm a football player, and I understand what it takes in order to be a winner. So I'm sitting up here like, if you're gonna be a winner, then you, as a team, everybody gotta get better. You can't have the first string and the second string looking like night and day. When the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls, they was winning preseason games. So everybody got great expectations for them again this year. And I'm like, heck, you can't win a preseason game with your second string? Because you ain't no good. If your second string ain't no good, the first string can't be that much greater. Because I played and I knew that as a first stringer, I made the second stringer better. He couldn't play with me if he wasn't going to get better. Because I knew I might get in foul trouble. And I needed, I'm going to use an example as far as Mark, God, y'all bless his soul, he's deceased now. I knew that if I got in foul trouble, Mark would have to come off the bench as a sixth player, he would have to come off the bench and replace one of the starters, and we needed him to play like one of the starters. I didn't need him out there playing like he was second string. And that's the problem with most preachers. They want to come out and be limelight and get all the glory and get all the accolades. And they want to play like they second string. They want to go to John 1 verse 45 and lead with a title of find Jesus instead of not understanding that all the prophets and the law talks about this particular verse. So all I'm trying to do, church, is say to you, I'm first string. And everybody that's a part of this team, either you're going to be first string, or when you come off the bench, you're going to look like it. I don't want every time somebody hear you say something about the scriptures that it's like hearing a third grader. That gift is in you, and you got to continue to develop that gift. And you got to spend time in order to develop that gift. The reason why that you hear the things from me that you hear from me is because I spend time developing this gift that y'all is giving. There's only one way you're going to do that. You got to become God conscious. I'm God conscious. Always God conscious. Even when I'm crazy, I'm still God conscious. I never take a break from y'all. I'm always available for him to slide in on my mind. Always God conscious. Yeah, I do other things. I have fun. I relax. You know, I play video games. I do all that kind of stuff. But I'm always God conscious. And so I'm going to give you these few scriptures before I get ready to close here. Romans chapter 3, no, Romans 4, I'm going to get out of this, cross-reference, Romans 4, verse 3, Romans 3 says, I'm just read this to scriptures now, just the particular verse I want to focus on for the sake of time. Romans 4, verse 3 says, but what saith the scriptures? What that let us know? It's in the Bible somewhere. Abraham believed Yah, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's the first place you got to start. The gift would never fully develop without complete and divine trust in Yah. Because the minute that opportunities or dilemmas create themselves, then we will not continue to go forth and develop that gift, because we can't please Yah without faith. It's impossible. So the scripture said, Abraham believed Yah, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So where is that? Because the Bible says, the scripture said. If we understand a concept as far as the New Testament is concerned, the New Testament repeats itself a lot. And what I mean by repeats itself, I'm talking about the Old Testament. You will see it written. It is written. You will see the scripture said. You will hear things that always reference to the scriptures. Now, where is this written where he said? Now, we can't understand this by starting in the end of the book. You can't start in Romans and then head toward Revelation and think you're going to understand what the scripture said. Yep. Genesis 15. Verse 5, it says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, in Yah, and he, Yah, counted it to him for righteousness. If you notice something about Paul, Paul is the writer of Romans. Paul using the same process to teach the scriptures as I do. Ain't nothing special about me. I just follow the rules. I am gifted and I develop it. And people be like, man, what's different about you? No, I know how to follow the rules. Why Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he know how to follow the rule. Why is John in there? He know how to follow the rule. Why is Matthew, Mark, Luke in there? They know how to follow the rule. Why is Moses in there? He know how to follow the rule. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joe. Why they all in there? They know how to follow the rule. They knew how to develop their gift. They all started right here. They followed the example of our father Abraham. Abraham just flat out believed. He didn't question. He didn't sit there and think about it. He just flat out believed Yah. Now, Yah taught us this early in our studying. But you got preachers way over there in Romans 4 don't have a clue what they talking about, because they didn't go and look at the the first time it was mentioned in Genesis 15 to understand what the subject matter was even about. What says the scriptures? All I'm doing when I teach is what saith the scriptures. That's it. Nothing special. God's given the gift, retain the information to know what saith the scriptures. What saith the scriptures? Oh, that's fine over in Genesis. Now, last thing as I get ready to close here. I really like this verse. I preached this verse so many times over the years, but I never understood it until now. And the reason why I say until now is because I never understood it until I followed the rules and developed the gift. Now it's clear. It's just crystal clear when I look at it. And there's some things that we'll pull out in this verse to point out how preachers who didn't develop their gifts taught this, and it took away the glory of Yah, and it brought about a bunch of confusion. Okay, Philippians 2 verse 5. Y'all have heard this message preached a lot, if not by myself, by other preachers. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now you see a colon there, and the colon lets us know we got to connect verse 6. And the colon at the end of verse 6 let us know we got to connect verse 7. And the colon to verse 7 lets us know we got to connect verse 8. Okay? Now, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, because people don't understand who Christ truly is, they said, see there, he God. He's in the form of God. He's God. Nah. When you start reading the scriptures from Genesis leading all the way up to Philippians chapter 2, you're not going to be debating with yourself about who Christ is. You're going to know that he's not God. So your mind is never going to let you even go there in the first place if we apply the gift correctly. If we don't, that's a scripture we'll use to prove that Christ is God. It says, who being in the form of Yah. Form is similitude, nature. Thus you hear me say, Christ is the express image of the Father. He is not the Father. The best way to understand who Christ is Yah said, I got to give them an example of what perfection is and how to live this life without living a life of sin. And the only way I can do it is to send a similitude of myself in the form of a son to carry out what it's like to walk like I walk. That's form. You understand that Christ is in the form of the Father because he said, I do nothing of myself. I do nothing except the Father give it to me. Form, similitude, nature. Everything Christ spoke is what his Father would have spoke. That's why you hear him say at times, I am that I am. Because he's speaking in the form and the similitude of his Father. He is not the Father. He is in the form of the Father. That's simple when you get to Philippians 2 after you follow the process and apply the rules. And when you get to Philippians 2, there's no way you're going to conclude that Christ is God, because you're going to know in Isaiah that Yah said a long time ago, a whole bunch of books ago, I am God. There is none else beside me. There is no other God beside me. When that is impounded in the mind of us as his children, when we get to Philippians chapter 2, we're not going to be confused now. Thus, that's why we said there is only one God. There is no other. Christ is not God. The Spirit is not God himself. God is God all by himself. He has a spirit, or he uses the wind as the spirit, and the Son, or Christ, is the Son. That's what the scripture teaches us. But if we don't follow rule, we'll jump over here in Philippians, and we talking about the Trinity, and we talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because preachers are not applying the rules, they just operating in their gift. So in order to do this right, we got to take on the mind of Christ. What was his mind like? I do nothing of myself. I don't even think without the thought being given to me on what I should say and do. Let the mind be in you. Preachers, let that mind be in you. If that mind is not in you, you're going to Philippians 2, verse 6, and Jesus will be God, and you'll be teaching false doctrine. But when the mind is in you, you'll speak what the Son speak. When they say, good master, there's none good but one, and that is God. Because he knew. Even Christ, as the Son, knew there was only one God, and that was his Father. But it says, verse 6 now, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's another one that people use to say, see, Christ is equal with Yah. Because he is God. They're equal. No, that equal is agreement. The equal is the same thing as the form. The equal is the similitude. He thought it, who being in the similitude of Yah, thought it not robbery to be in the similitude with Yah. When you look at the word equal, it says equal. It says through the idea of seeming. Not actual, seeming. Similar in amount and in kind. Agree as much like. So because people doesn't apply the gift, then they take the word equal and they say, see, equal is the same as in the God. No, it's talking about the form, and it's talking about the equality from the perspective of the form. He is expressed image of the Father. But he didn't allow his gift now to get in the way of his responsibilities, like most preachers do. That's why I said that earlier. Verse 6. Who being in the form of Yah, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yah, but made himself of no reputation. That's the problem with us gifted people. We want our reputation to go with it. That's why I always say you can't get a nut out of a nut. That's why I always make statements and talk and do the things the way that I do. Because I want people to look at me as a foolish thing and be confounded. Y'all say, I'll take a foolish thing and confound the wise. But when a person got a reputation they're trying to uphold, then they're more concerned about their gift instead of pleasing Yah. So when Yah speak to the prophet and say, here, I want you to go and I want you to fix your food on some cow dung. But you cook it on that dung. First he told him human. He said, I haven't defiled myself. He said, okay, take you some cow dung and cook your food on it. Most of us preachers, we got too much gift to do something like that. And I want you to lay on one side for a while, and then I want you to lay on the other side for a while. Then I want you to cut your beard off. I want you to walk around. No, we got too much reputation for that. How you going to come into church without your suit on? Are we glorifying the gift? But we can learn from the Savior if we had his mind. He was in the similitude of the Father, but yet he still didn't let that get in the way of what he was born to do. Verse 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant. So he had the nature of Yah, but he took on the nature of a servant. Similitude of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Yah Almighty has exalted him. If he's God, why is it said, wherefore God have exalted himself? He's the Son, that's why. And given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Yehoshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Yehoshua is Lord, to the glory of who? Yah the Father. My Father is God all by himself. And my Savior is the Son all by himself. As far as the Redeemer is concerned, and the Spirit is the Ruach, the breath of Yah all by itself. And so when we look at Philippians, because we've used the gift, our gift, and follow the rules, and again, I'm going to remind you, that's why we're going through the scriptures the way that we're going through, is because I'm trying to give you everything that I got, all the processes that I understand, so that your gift can develop to the highest degree. For lack of a better way to put this, I want to teach y'all how to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't want to go to no Pro Bowl. I don't want to just win the Super Bowl. I want to go to the Hall of Fame. And that's just a metaphoric term that I'm using, just telling you to strive to be everything that Yah has called you to be. Don't have your gift and then don't use it. Some people spend hours in front of soap operas and spend hours watching television and doing all this other stuff. I spend hours understanding the scriptures. Remember when I said this? It says, I'm always available for y'all to slide on my mind. I multitask a lot. People who know me pretty good will tell you I'm like that. I can be engaged in something fully, engaged in something else fully at the same time. It's just how my mind works. I feel comfortable multitasking. I'm just able to do things like that. Just the way Yah has gifted me to be able to do it. Heck, I can be sitting there studying the scriptures and you think I'm just sitting there playing PlayStation. And I'm meditating on the scriptures and all the scriptures just rolling through my mind because I know them. And so that's what I mean by being God conscious. Always be God conscious. I think we spend a lot of time during the day focusing on a lot of vain thoughts. And apply yourself, because if you don't apply yourself, Spirit ain't gonna give you nothing. You're gonna look at that Bible and it's gonna look like it's Japanese. Look like it's Japanese. Be like, it's Chinese. I can't read it. It's Chinese. I don't understand it. You gotta do it, you know? And it don't happen overnight either. It doesn't. I've been at this for 30 years and I'm still learning. All right. That's all I have. Any questions, comments, anything? Okay. Well, now you know, I just kind of shared some things with you on how to do it. All of us are gifted. Use your gift to the best of your ability. Some of us may have 5 talents, some may have 2, but get all that 2 out of there you can. Okay. You may not be, gifted or called to do it at the level by which I do it or anyone else do it, but do it to the best of your ability. And just think about it. How much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend looking at other things? And anybody that know me, they'll tell you that's why it's hard for me to watch movies and stuff like that. I get bored too easy because I just don't watch television and stuff like that much. I like focusing on the scriptures, and if I'm relaxing and stuff like that, I'm still meditating. Sometimes I may be playing a video game and I'll stop right in the middle of it because I just got a revelation, because that's what I'm meditating about while I'm doing it. So I say that to say is just find the best method by which you can continue to develop your gift. Find out what works for you. Just give you some examples. If you everybody go to the restroom a lot. Heck, take your Bible in there. Go to the restroom anyhow. Take advantage of that time, You're on the treadmill, take advantage of it. If you're walking, just take advantage of those different times, Whatever you can do to position yourself to understand some things even better. You gotta meditate on it. You gotta stay in it. All right, I'm finished. We're good. Okay, Brother Yah, we just thank you. We just bless you for giving us the gifts that you have, and bless us even more to have the discipline to be God conscious on a daily basis, and just develop our gift and to grow and to learn and just to understand. We know that if we spend as much time in the scriptures as we do with movies and other books and listening to music and all these different things, all the other things that we do to occupy our time, we just put some of that effort into understanding you. Getting a better understanding of you, getting to know you and your ways, we could be so much further along. And we bless you for encouraging us to do so. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.